Good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. It's a beautiful Friday morning, July 21st here in Texarkana, Texas, and it is very hot. I was in the weather yesterday afternoon. I played golf with a pastor friend of mine, and man, it was steamy, but it was still a lot of fun. And even though I'm not very good at golf, I love to play golf, and the course was gorgeous. And so, great time with another brother in the Lord. Well, Psalm 33, verse 12 says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." And my guest this morning is a man who believes that, and he believes the Word of God. He stands for the Word of God. He is the founder of Stand, Staying True to America's National Destiny. He's a pastor, he's a lawyer, he's a Marine Corps veteran, husband, father, grandfather, a warrior for the truth, and just recently threw his hat into the ring to become a candidate for president of the United States. His name is Bishop E.W. Jackson. Bishop, welcome to the program.
Jeff, thank you so much for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Well, okay, I gotta say, Bishop, I was very surprised when I heard that you were going to run for president, and I think I speak for many when I say, okay, tell us why you decided to do that.
Well, look, the short answer is very simple. The biggest problem America has, in my view, is that we are turning away from God. And I really felt in my heart and felt God calling me to run to say, we must come back to God. We must come back to godly principles. We must come back to the principles upon which this country was founded. And if we don't do that, the rest is just shifting the chairs around on the deck of the Titanic. Mm-hmm. We're heading for a crash unless we come back to what you just quoted. The blessed nation is the nation whose God is the Lord. And I'd say this, Jeff. I just don't believe that America's been blessed because somehow we're superior people. We're blessed because of the covenantal and providential founding of this nation that God has honored for nearly a quarter of a millennium. And if we throw that away, we throw away what's really made America exceptional.
Amen. Well, let me ask you this, Bishop. What kind of a reception have you gotten with this announcement?
Well, you know, look, a lot of Christians have gotten been very, very excited. In fact, I have to tell you, I have been pleasantly surprised. I don't think I've gotten one or two people who even questioned it. Every Christian I've talked to, and I've talked to a bunch of them, have said, this is wonderful. Thank God. We need somebody who's going to lift up the name of the Lord and say, this is what we've got to have. This is what's causing all the confusion. I have to tell you, though, on the other hand, the mainstream media has boycotted my candidacy so far. They haven't. There's not been a single mention, either in liberal or conservative media, other than American Family Radio. And I want to thank you all for giving me an opportunity to be heard here. We think that'll break. And even I'm going to Iowa next Friday for the Iowa Republican event, and we've been working to get in that event. And so far, they seem to be denying us an opportunity to even attend, let alone speak as a candidate. So I would say among establishment and sort of mainstream and elite institutions, the reception has been less than warm and welcoming.
Well, I guess you're kind of used to that since
right.
you don't fit into the mainstream. Bishop, I told you when I heard the news, I think you'd make a great president.
Thank you, sir. You're
wise, you're godly, you're bold, but America's in a mess. So it's kind of like cleaning up a grocery store where somebody threw everything off the shelves and smashed all the liquid containers. I mean, it's just, where do you even start with something like that? Suppose the Lord were to put you in that position. What would you do?
Well, let me just say first as a preface to that, anybody who runs for president or becomes president who thinks that you can straighten this mess out without God shouldn't get anywhere near the White House.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just not possible, Jeff. It's like a cancer that's metastasized and having a doctor say, hey, well, you know what? I'm going to go and cut out this tumor. Well, it's far beyond that.
Right.
You need something that's going to kill the cancer at its root. And so that's the first thing. I promised the Lord if by some miracle I would land in the White House, the first thing I would do is pray the prayer of Solomon and say, Lord, I don't know how to go in and come out among this great people, the American people, but give me wisdom to do what you would have me do, to lead this country in the way that you want it to go. So that would be the first thing. And obviously, I've got some things in mind among the first things I would do. I really believe that without a criminal justice system that is fair and open and honest and just, we are headed for a cataclysm. And right now, I believe that the Biden administration has polluted and corrupted the criminal justice system. So the first thing I would do would be to clean house there. I'd get rid of, obviously, not only Garland, who's probably be gone by then, but I would also get rid of Christopher Wray. I would clean house in the top echelons of our federal law enforcement and make clear that our job is not to go after liberals. It's not to go after conservatives. Our job is to enforce the law. And that's what you would do under my administration. I think people have got to have confidence that the law is going to treat them fairly and it's going to treat similar people similarly. So, and right now, there's not much confidence in the country over that. So that would be among the very first things I would do.
Well, I think law and order is huge, and we have we seem to have lost it in America on purpose. And we reward the criminals and we punish the victims. Yep. And I don't know how our country can keep going down that road. It's going to eventually just all fall apart and become chaos. Bishop, what would you do about this? Because I know a lot of people are concerned about fair elections. And there are a good number of people that feel like the last presidential election was not fair. How would you address that?
Well, the last presidential election was not fair. And anybody who denies that is just living in la-la land. Now, would the outcome have been different? You know, it's kind of impossible to know that for sure. Although polls suggest, for example, that had the Hunter Biden scandal been allowed to be seen and heard by the American people, it might have shifted the voting and caused a change in the election on its own, not to mention all the other shenanigans that were pulled, these boxes that they somehow concocted as an alternative is because of COVID, using COVID as a justification, and the ballot harvesting that was done. And I mean, there were just a lot of things, and the Heritage Foundation has thousands of instances that they've compiled of voting irregularities that ought to give us all pause. So look, the federal government doesn't control state and local elections. The state and local elections do. But I'm reminded that the presidency is the biggest bully pulpit in the country. And I think what a president has got to say to the American people, and then, of course, we can enforce the law through the Justice Department, but to say the job of our elections is not to elect conservatives or liberals. The job of our elections is to fully and accurately express the will of the American people. Mm-hmm. And that's what it ought to do. In other words, I've said many times, if I'm running and I lose, but I lose fairly, I can live with that. Because that's the way it works. You weren't able to persuade enough people. But what you don't want is a situation where half the country feels that elections are no longer fair. Because once again, Jeff, if that's the case, if you thought the criminal justice system and you thought the election system, there's not much left for resolving our disputes, is there? And I think the result, if both those institutions go out the window, let me just be explicit about it. I think the result is violence, because then people have no other recourse to protect themselves. Because if the system is not going to treat you fairly, the elections don't work, then you are kind of on your own. So we've got to protect those institutions and make sure that they are fair, not for Republicans or for Democrats, but for everybody.
Well, and I totally agree. I've pushed from the pulpit. I've pushed for people every time the election rolls around. Hey, you need to vote. That's your Christian duty to vote. Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and Caesar wants your vote. But, Bishop, if people do feel like my vote doesn't count, or it's going to be thrown out, or they're going to rig it somehow, then they're not going to stand in line for an hour or 2 hours or whatever it is. It's going to be like, what's the use of doing that? And that is critical to me. I had Mike Pence on the program a couple of months ago, and I asked him that same question. And I think that is really, really critical for this next election. And I don't know, you probably know more about this than I do. What's being done on both sides of the aisle to fix that?
Well, one of my dearest friends, frankly, I don't think the Democrats are doing anything to fix it because I don't think they care. I mean, it's a sad state of affairs, and I don't enjoy saying this because, I'm not partisan as much as principled. What matters to me are the principles, and the principles upon which this country was founded, and the biblical principles that God gives us for governing ourselves are what matters to me, not the party label. But I really believe that the Democrat Party has really gone wholly Marxist, and mm-hmm. I don't think that they care what happens during an election as long as they win. Right. I don't think it matters whether it's fair or not. I mean, denying that there's any irregularities or that there's any fraud, I mean, it's just silly. People know better than that. This is the only institution in America where there's no corruption, where there's nothing to question. I mean, come on, it's ridiculous. But I think people like Ken Blackwell and some others, Pajama Media, his name, Jake Christian Adams, are working hard to make sure that our electoral process is indeed fair and honest and open for everyone. And so I would turn to people like that to help make sure that we enforce the laws that are on the books and that those laws indeed reflect fairness and not prejudice or bias in one direction or another.
Now, Bishop, you ran for office in what year?
I ran for office. Actually, I ran three times. I had a quixotic effort in 2011, I think it was. 2010. No, 2011. That's right. I actually ran for U.S. Senate here in Virginia. That was my first sort of foray where I just began to get known, built a following from that, and then won the Republican nomination for lieutenant governor. Kind of paved the way for Winsome Sears in the position she's in right now, because we hadn't won. That was the first election after Bob McDonnell ran into his problems, and of course we hadn't won since then. So Youngkin and Sears and Meares came along and won, and then in 2018 I took another stab at it, jumped in late, trying to upend Tim Kaine, who I just consider to be one of the worst senators in the history of the country. I mean, this is the guy who had the nerve to say that America didn't inherit slavery, we invented it, which is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And then his wife denounced the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution because they're documents written by slave owners. I mean, so these are some really bad people to have in office. So I took a stab at that one. So I've run several times in Virginia. Haven't hit the magic number yet.
Well, do you think you get a fair shot?
I think, you know, one of the reasons why I love this country, Jeff, is I've traveled this nation and spoken all over the country, and the American people are just basically decent, honest, fair people. I know we're not perfect. I'm not either. But I believe the American people will give me a fair shot, whether these elites who control things will or not. I mean, for example, I'm proposing three constitutional amendments that I will champion as president. One is to define life and personhood at conception. Well, you know, even Republicans don't particularly want to hear that.
Mm. Well, they need to. That would be great. Well, we're talking to Bishop E.W. Jackson, the newest participant in the race for president, and Bishop E.W. Jackson has been on American Family Radio for many, many years at 12 noon Central Time with The Awakening, and he recently resigned that position to run for president, and I'm very pleased that he's my guest today as we talk about his candidacy, as we talk about our nation. I personally think Bishop E.W. Jackson would be a tremendous choice for president. And so we're going to find out more about where he stands on the issues. And you're listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and we will be right back after this break. Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. We're talking to my friend Bishop E.W. Jackson, pastor, lawyer, Marine Corps veteran, husband, father, grandfather, author, speaker, warrior for the truth, founder and president of Stand, Staying True to America's National Destiny, and candidate for the presidency of the United States of America. So, Bishop, when you see how our country is just overrun with lies, we just swim in lies, and the government is just lying about so many things. COVID really exposed lies from entities that we thought would tell us the truth. The Center for Disease Control, pack of liars. Big Pharma, pack of liars. It just seems to me like the love of money, which is a root of all sorts of evil, has just infected everything. The medical community, transgenderism, they know because of science that that is impossible, yet they can make money off of it, so they're pushing this agenda. How would you combat the lies that are just being that we're being inundated with today?
Well, you're right. The love of money and the love of power and control, because we also saw during COVID how quickly people became tyrants, how quickly they used the excuse of COVID to crack down on people and just use. We just saw, for example, in Moscow, Iowa, they had to pay $300,000 to the three Christians who were arrested during a worship service outside because they didn't have masks on. They actually put handcuffs on them and led them away. This stuff is just, it's unbelievable in a constitutional republic. So look, I don't like looking backward, but there is some looking backward that we've got to do with COVID. And I think one of the things we've got to do is get to the bottom of it. I think Coach Anthony Fauci needs to be thoroughly investigated, because I really believe that he committed a major fraud on the American people that caused a million lives to be lost. I mean, including financing the Wuhan virus, including lying to people about therapeutic drugs that could help them, refusing to even include natural immunity in the equation. I mean, I know people right now who had the shot, who had the boosters. In fact, I know one person who's just had COVID for the fourth time. So we've got to get to the bottom of all of that. And I think hold people accountable. And that itself will be a deterrence in the future, so that people understand that if you use emergency circumstances to perpetrate fraud against the American people, and you cause the loss of American lives, and you cause hardship to the American people, you're going to be held criminally liable. Because as far as I'm concerned, that's what ought to happen to Anthony Fauci. And then, of course, the other thing is, nobody should have the kind of power that he had. He was wielding such power over the entire medical community because he had almost absolute control over who got grant money for research. And so when Fauci spoke, the whole medical community bowed down as if he were God. That should never be allowed to happen again. We need to make sure that no power, that kind of power, is not in the hands of any one person.
Well, I've had concerns with our medical community, Bishop, with the fact that it seemed like doctors weren't being critical about this anymore. They were just accepting whatever was coming down the pike. Okay, yep. We have to do this, we have to do that. It's like, hey, you guys are supposed to be, you know, people that check out the truth and make sure this is right. And it seemed like they weren't doing that anymore. I didn't understand that at all.
That's why we're in a spiritual battle. It's ultimately not political. It's not ultimately conservative versus liberal or Democrat versus Republican. It's ultimately a spiritual battle between the forces of good and the forces of evil. Because what's happened is almost a cult-like response to lies and to deception, where people, just like the Bible talks about God giving people up to great delusion. And the delusion takes root, and that becomes people's reality. And if you challenge that reality, they react almost violently against you. So doctors right now who question the orthodoxy that the American Medical Association was putting forth on anything, whether it was on COVID or now whether it's on transgender treatment, those doctors are sanctioned, they're punished, they're threatened. So it is a bad situation. That's why I said straightening this out, thinking that you can do this simply on a political level is folly. We need the power of God. We need an awakening in our country, Jeff. Mm-hmm. There's no question. We need a move of God in this nation to sort of wake people up out of the stupor that the devil has put them in and the lies that bind them.
Amen. Amen. Well, I know you've been leading prayers, prayer meetings across the land. And how has that been going? It's been, is it every Friday that you have people come together to pray?
Every Friday, we call it Stand in Prayer for America, where people are gathering. That's at 12 noon Eastern time. They can go to the website, standamerica.us, to find out the call-in number for that. But we have people from around the country gathering together to pray for our nation. Well, Jeff, as you know, my kickoff was called the Second Chronicles 7:14 Patriotic Rally to Secure America's Future, because I really believe, once again, that without God, it's simply not going to work. Mm-hmm. And any candidate for president who doesn't understand that is really, I mean, they're just missing the mark. Again, it's like rearranging the chairs on the deck of the Titanic, when what you really need is for the captain to say, hey, everybody, we got to change course.
Right.
Because we're headed for an iceberg. Mm-hmm. And people say, no. We just need to rearrange the chairs and make ourselves feel more comfortable. Yeah, well, guess what? You do that, the ship's going to sink. Mm-hmm. You might feel more comfortable before it hits the iceberg, but believe me, it's going to end in disaster. So, and we love this country, and we don't want that to happen.
Well, okay, so Bishop, what do you say to the people that would look at you and say, Bishop Jackson, why are you muddying the waters? This is between Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis, and adding another person in here is just going to split the Christian vote or the conservative vote. How would you respond to that?
Well, first of all, to Christians, I would say I know that in doing what I'm doing, I'm being obedient to God. You know, you come to a point, Jeff, and you understand this, where when you know what God has told you to do, now it's a question of, are you going to be compliant or are you going to be rebellious? Mm-hmm. Believe me, Jeff, doing what you're doing right now, man, I just loved it. I really do. And I hope I get to do it again. And it was not easy, but I knew what God was telling me to do, and I just had to do it. So that's the first thing. The second thing, on the pragmatics of it, look, when you're faithful to what God has called you to do, the results are really in His hands, right? You do what, mm-hmm, He's called you to do. So I'm going to participate in the debate. I'm going to get my message out there, and I'm going to trust God to do what He wants to do with that. If it lands me in the White House, well, praise God. I'd love to serve this country as president. If it doesn't, the main thing I'm interested in is achieving whatever God wants to achieve out of this. So, mm-hmm, so that's why I'm doing it. And therefore I don't need Donald Trump's or Rick DeSantis or the Republican Party's permission to obey God. So,
amen. Amen. That's a great answer. Okay. So, what does your wife think about this?
Well, I'll tell you, she and I have had to talk about this long and hard. My wife has finally come around. In fact, I said at my announcement, I said, people have been asking me over the years, you know, why don't you run for president? Why don't you run for president? And I tell them I would, but my wife won't let me. and I told them she's finally let me. And that got a rousing applause. Look, my wife loves this country. She loves God. And she knows we're in trouble. We just had our first grandchild 15 months ago, and we're looking at this country now and asking, my goodness, what's it going to be like in 10 years or 20 years based on the trajectory we're seeing right now? So she understands what I'm doing and why I'm doing it, and she is 100% supportive, and praise God for it, because, you know, we've been married for 52 years, and I could not do this without her support.
Well, and that is wonderful. And we have to have our wives behind us. I think, amen, about the line from the movie Cinderella Man, when the boxer, I can't remember his name now, but he was going to fight, and he needed his wife's support. And she didn't want him to fight because she thought he was going to get killed when he fought this big bad guy. But Yeah, she finally said, I realize you need my support. He said, that's what I've been trying to tell you. So praise the Lord that your wife is behind you in this. Bishop, you would be tremendous for our country. And I got to ask you, so as a black American, as somebody who loves America, we have a lot of people in the black community that have been taught to hate America. How are you perceived in the black community?
Well, I'll tell you, that's one of the reasons I'm running. You know, I just wrote a book, Jeff, called Sweet Land of Liberty, Reflections of a Patriot Descended from Slaves. As part of my announcement that weekend, I went into the heart of the black community and I did a press conference on the 356 children who've been murdered in the inner cities. I think all but two of them, maybe three, are black, and talked about the fact that the Black Lives Matter, the Defund the Police movement, all of this racial hatred that is being stoked. In the meantime, law enforcement that has been the bulwark between the law-abiding citizens of these communities and the criminal class, having been vilified and denounced and defunded and dismantled in some cases, now that bulwark is no longer there, and you've got children dying all over the country. You know, one of the things I want to do in this campaign is to wake the black community up, particularly black Christians, and let them see you've been supporting these Democrats for a generation and a half. And what has it brought you? Poverty, crime, decrepit and decaying communities, poor education. 87% of black children who graduate from high school are functionally illiterate. They can't read at an eighth grade level. I mean, this is tragic. And so I'm going to be campaigning in the black community, Jeff, and telling people, look, it's time to wake up to the fact that you are not being served by these Democrats who use race to manipulate you and keep you in fear and convince you that the Republican Party's out to get you. But in the meantime, things are crumbling around you.
That's exactly right. And it's sad because, you know, I've always seen this from this perspective, Bishop. You know, it's hard for me as a white guy to get that message across. But it seems like when guys like you stand up you know, Barack Obama kind of called out the black community years ago about things. And, you know, they didn't really like that. But it doesn't matter what the color of your skin is. If you go down a road of irresponsibility and gangster mentality and all that, that's never going to be the formula for success. That's just going to bring destruction to your lives, to your families, to your homes. And so I appreciate the fact that you're willing to do that, because that's not a popular message.
But, you know, one of the things I fought Barack Obama for, and there are many things, but one of the things I fought him for, and if I were to become president, this is what I would do, what he should have done. I would make it a point to go into these inner cities and talk to these people on an ongoing basis and say, look, your problem is not racism. Your problem is broken families. Your problem is these kids not being taught respect for authority. Your problem is you've got broken schools and you don't have a chance to get your kids out of them. So they've got you stuck in these captive schools and you don't have law enforcement here to help you. Let's actually do something that can make a difference, as opposed to rioting and complaining. And every time an incident happens, if it involves a police officer, it's the end of the world. But the fact of the matter is, up 7,500 to 10,000 black folks are dying in the inner cities of our country every year. And they're not dying at the hands of police or racists. They're dying at the hands of black criminals. Let's deal with that.
That's so true. Let's talk a little bit about the southern border, because that's a big issue. And now the movie Sound of Freedom that came out is really highlighting the fact that, you know, the sex trafficking is just pouring through on the southern border. What would you do to fix that?
Well, I'm scheduled to go to the southern border the first month of first week, I should say, of August, and to do an extensive visit so that I can speak from personal experience, having seen what's going on down there, because I haven't been yet. But I would say this. the Democrat Party doesn't care that the border is open because they see this as an opportunity for them to get hegemony over this country by bringing in a bunch of people who see them as benefactors and will ultimately vote for them when they become citizens. Now, that's the bottom line. Because the same people who are doing this now were people who once denounced illegal immigration and once said, we've got to close the border. Now, suddenly, they're not talking that way anymore. Why? Because they see it as a pathway to power. Look, I would finish the wall. I would equip the wall with every bit of technology available to us so that we could be watching the wall the most efficient way possible. I would give us the full battery of border agents that we need to keep the border secure rather than turning them into welfare agents. I would supplement that, if necessary, with American troops, because as far as I am concerned, the cartels need to be declared terrorist organizations and need to at times get a military response. I mean, this thing is tragic for the American people and for the illegal immigrants that are being trafficked into prostitution and slavery and drug dealing and all of this stuff, Jeff. So I would close the border, and I'm just beginning. I've got more things I could say about that.
Very good. Well, we're talking to Bishop E.W. Jackson. We're talking about his candidacy for President of the United States of America. And as the bishop has said, this is a spiritual battle that we're in, and Christians hold the key for America. Our country is going down the tubes, but God has said, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. You and I hold the key as we pray, as we get right, as we seek God's face, not his hand, but his face. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm Pastor Jeff Shreve. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, along with Bishop E.W. Jackson, candidate for President of the United States of America. We're going to open the phone lines. Maybe you have a question for the bishop. 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. We'd love to hear from you. And Bishop, I got to ask you, people watch videos of Joe Biden giving speeches or in meetings, and I mean, it's sad to say, but it's like visiting an elderly person in the nursing home. What do you make of that?
It is really sad. It's just so sad for our country. And once again, it comes back to this issue of what these folks worship is power. And it doesn't matter how you get it or how you keep it or who you hurt. I mean, they need to let him go, let him relax. But they are so enamored of power that they just can't do it. They did the same thing with Fetterman in Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a guy who should not be in the Senate. And these are human beings. I don't hate them. I mean, I feel for them. But it is also sad for the country, because what this communicates around the world is a weak America, and we really need to project strength. So he's got to go, and I trust that the next election will retire him, which is going to be good for the country and good for him.
Yeah, well, he may be going to prison. What do you make of the Hunter Biden situation?
You know, I think he probably should go to prison, because I think they've been involved in criminal activity for a long time. I've been saying for years, I think the Biden family is a criminal enterprise. And we're seeing and hearing things now that really just confirm that. I doubt very seriously that as a former president, he's ever going to land in prison because, of course, of the national security issues and this kind of thing. I mean, what do you do? How do you imprison a president? You got to build a prison for him. But you're right. He probably ought to be. And his son certainly ought to be. But again, we got to restore confidence that the criminal justice system is going to actually uphold the law. And that's not what we've had here in the last few years with the Biden family, although they're in overdrive over Donald Trump and basically doing everything to avoid holding the Biden family accountable for their criminality.
Well, that's just an example of the deep state. You know, when Donald Trump hit office, he was going to drain the swamp. The swamp's pretty deep, evidently, and it's not easy to do. You know, you would be faced with that same challenge, Bishop. How would you go about that?
Well, one of the things I have in mind is dispersal. All of these agencies that are now housed in Northern Virginia, I would remove them into and scatter them around the country. Now, I know that's a big task, but I think it needs to be done. They're hurting Virginia because they've really kind of taken over the politics of Virginia in many ways. But I think also they're living in a cocoon. They're living in a little ivory tower here in the Washington, D.C. area. And they need to be out there where the action is. They need to, the Department of Interior people need to be out in the interior, you know. Mm-hmm. I would get rid of the Department of Environmental Protection or completely retool that, the Department of Education. There's a bunch of these agencies that just need to go. But I would disperse them so that we don't have this gigantic bureaucracy that is weighing down Virginia and also living in a kind of cocoon and that makes them completely disconnected from the reality of how Americans live.
Mm, very good. Well, the number to call is 888-589-8840. We'd love to take your call as we are interviewing Bishop E.W. Jackson. And we have Norman on the line from Mississippi. Norman, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Oh, good morning.
Good morning,
good morning Norman.
Good morning. Morning, Bishop Jackson. I agree with a lot of your talking points in terms of what would help the black community. But I think what most people are missing, when I grew up, and I'm 76 years old, when I grew up as a kid, most black folk that I knew were Republican. They voted Republican. And most black people that I associate with today are very concerned. But the problem is what happened with the black vote is, in after Johnson came out with this new society, Bo Weevil Democrat from the South took over the Republican Party and ran it for about 20 years. And so that is the reason why most black people left the party, because Bo Weevil took it over.
Yeah. Actually, your history is off there, and thank you so much for calling, but your history is off there. That is not what happened. That's the picture that is painted in order to paint the Republican Party as a racist party. But what actually happened was that evangelicals began to move into the Republican Party as they saw the Democrat Party more and more going the way of libertinism. And that's just part of the story that's not told. These people are not racist. They're godly people. And they're looking for a home where they believe God is going to be upheld. So they didn't like abortion. You know, back in the 60s, they started the whole gay rights movement. That's been going on for a long time. They didn't like that. Look, that's why I left the Democrat Party back in the early 1980s, because I could not reconcile my Christian moral worldview to what the Democrat Party represented. But the Democrats have been great at propagandizing this issue and convincing black people that the Republican Party is inherently racist. I would argue just the other way around. The Democrat Party was the party of slavery, it was the party of Jim Crow, and it's still the party of keeping black people in a subservient position, convincing them that they can't live on their own, that they need to be rescued, and that the Democrat Party is where the rescue is, when in fact it was the Republican Party that always stood up for the rights of black folks at the very earliest stages, starting with Abraham Lincoln. So that your history there is bad, but the Democrat Party has really sold it.
Mm, very true. Thanks, Bishop. Okay, we have Dave in Indiana. Dave, welcome to Real Truth for Today. Dave, are you there?
Do you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Hello?
Now. Yeah,
yes,
go ahead.
Dave.
Okay. Yeah, thanks for taking my call. And Bishop, thank you for running for president.
Thank you, sir.
So my question or comment is, have you all ever heard of this Rodas or something like that?
Say it again.
Tara Rodas.
Tara Rodas.
She's a whistleblower.
Oh, this is a person.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
What did she blow a whistle on?
She just, well, is what she said. The government is supporting a bunch of the trafficking.
The sex trafficking?
Yes.
Bishop, have you heard anything about that?
I have not heard that. But look, without getting into conspiracy theories about, you know, this whole thing, the government really is supporting this trafficking. I mean, to the extent that they are maintaining this open border policy, because we know now these cartels are richer than they've ever been because they've added to drug dealing human trafficking. So whether intentionally or conspiratorially or not, as a practical matter, the government has empowered the cartels far beyond anything they ever had before. So in substance, therefore, he's absolutely right. She's absolutely right.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Well, thank you, Dave. I appreciate you calling in and appreciate your question there. We have Sammy on the line from Texas. Sammy, welcome to Real Truth for Today. You're on with Bishop Jackson.
Thank you. Bishop Jackson, southern border, the national news is now picking up on the fact that tuberculosis is coming across the southern border in greater and greater numbers. TV. The other issue is the Biden's TV.
Well, look, it doesn't surprise me because everything imaginable, every vile thing imaginable is coming over. And here again, I realize some of these people coming are probably trying to have a better life for themselves and their families. Let me add a couple of other things, though, that address this. I really believe that if you cross illegally into our country, you should be forever banned from ever becoming a citizen. If you cross illegally, that's it. You will never be a citizen of the United States of America, number one. Number two, a zero tolerance policy. If you cross into our country illegally, we will find you and we will deport you. And if you're a criminal, you'll get at the top of the list. But everybody who comes into the country illegally is subject to deportation. And I think if you do that and you're serious about that, a lot of people will self-deport and it'll stop the flow because people will know you can never be comfortable in America because they're never going to let you rest until they get you and send you back.
Mm-hmm. Very good. I like that policy for sure. Well, Sammy, thank you for calling in. And we have my good friend Veronica from Texarkana on the line. Veronica, welcome to the program.
Thank you. E.W. Jackson, thank you for running as president. What can we do that want to support you? Do we, besides praying, which that is so important, voting, and do we need to write letters, show up? Like, how can we support you to run and see you as president?
Well, thank you so much, Veronica. First of all, go to my website. It's ewjacksonforpresident.com. So it's pretty simple, ewjacksonforpresident.com. There are no periods there, no dashes, no nothing, just all one word, ewjacksonforpresident.com. So you can do that. And obviously, we need all the contributions we can get because running a presidential campaign is a very expensive proposition. I would also say this. Look, to the extent that you have any access to the mainstream media, you write letters to them, you make comments, ask them why they're not recognizing my candidacy, because so far there's been a complete boycott of my candidacy. But again, I think it goes with this sort of ghettoization of Christianity and Christians. You know, we kind of are on the periphery. We're not the mainstream. That's got to change. But here's the other thing. I've got a dinner in Iowa next Friday, And the Republican establishment there is giving me a hard time about letting me in, even though I am an announced and filed candidate. So I would ask people to get in touch with the Republican Party of Iowa and ask them, why aren't you letting E.W. Jackson into this dinner? He is a candidate just like the rest. So why aren't you giving people an opportunity to hear him like you're giving them an opportunity to hear the rest? And if I may, Jeff, that number for the Iowa Republicans is 515-282-8105. That's 515-282-8105. And ask them, why aren't you giving E.W. Jackson an opportunity to be heard like the rest of the candidates?
What would be their answer to that, Bishop?
I don't think they have one. I really don't. They, well, he filed later, and you know, we didn't know, and but they know. And look, Jeff, you've put on events. I put on events. If you were to say to me, "Hey, E.W., I'm going to be in the area. Would it be? Can you get me in?" And if I said, "Well, you know, we're filled up," you know that if I'm in charge of that event, I can get you in there. For sure. I mean, it's so they're playing games to say, "Oh no, we can't. We're full now. We can't accommodate him." But I'm going anyway. I'm going to be there, and they're going to have to explain to me and to my supporters why they're not allowing me an opportunity to attend that dinner.
Well, EW, when you were talking about the expense to run for president, what kind of money do you need to do that?
Well, you know, my initial thought was, in order to run a viable campaign, you got to raise $20 million at the very least. Now, you can see some of the candidates so far have raised $6, $7 million. Some of them probably won't make it. But my thought has always been, you need $20 million. And probably, now my first reporting period will be September 15th. Our goal by September 15th is to raise $1 million between now and then, because we feel like as the race goes on and people know you more, obviously the momentum picks up. But yeah, our thought was a minimum of $20 million to really be in it. And then as the momentum picks up, of course, it could get higher than that. And undoubtedly will go higher than that. So, but yeah, these are big dollars. In fact, we're establishing a super PAC for our supporters who want to give unlimited amounts of, who can therefore give unlimited amounts of money to a super PAC, but that would be independent of the campaign.
Amen. Well, it is expensive, but Bishop, I just applaud you for being faithful to the Lord, for listening to his voice, and when he calls you to do something, to get out of the boat and walk on the water, you do it. You say, "Yes, Lord," and you're doing that. And so God bless you, my brother. And I'll be praying for you, and I'm going to be supporting you because I believe that you would make a huge impact on our nation for God and for good. So thank you for being my guest today.
Thank you, Pastor Jeff. You are a blessing, my brother.
God bless you. Well, you've been listening to Real Truth for Today. And Julio and Marty, sorry we didn't get to you, but thanks for listening to the program. And you can share this with others. Just go to AFR.net. Hey, go out this weekend, shine for Christ, and share what great things he's done for you, and the Lord will use you as his witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.